We're speaking right now with the head of the superintendent, I should say, of the Northland School Division, Dr. Nancy Spencer-Poitras, and thank you for joining us today. I guess the first question we have is right off the bat, the board approved the three-year education plan, and we know that various divisions in the region have done that. I'm just curious, number one, is that a provincially mandated thing to do, or is this something that all school boards do? And overall, your thoughts on the plan going forward, what are some of the highlights?
Yes, it is something that all school districts do, and we post it and send it into Alberta Education. It is public knowledge as to what the school district has been doing in the past year. Some of the things that were, you know, in light of a pandemic, which has been horrible, it has allowed us with our technology to just take a district that is 288 square miles or kilometers, and it has enabled us to use technology to bring our district together. And that, I would say, has been the focus since March of last year, is how do we engage our students as well as our staff, not just teachers, but secretaries, et cetera, through the use of technology. And so that has been a huge focus, and that's something we're really celebrating with the success of it in our last year's budget, in our last year's plan. And we're continuing to invest in that particular area for this year as well.
Okay, and in saying that in technology, I mean, obviously since we started chatting, it seems like, and obviously thanks to the pandemic, it's really had to go be accelerated, if anything like that. But given such the large area you covered, I mean, you have schools from all the way from the west end of the province all the way up to Fort Chipewyan. So it's such a large area, and especially in, I remember being in that area in Fort McMurray and Fort Chip covering the events up there, and the importance of connectivity. Is that something that, even though I know school divisions don't like to necessarily, you know, really poke the government too much, but they are now starting to finally get going on, with the federal government's help, and plan to put an internet in as many homes as possible. How helpful will that be if that's able to help out?
Well, many of our students in Northern Alberta, and not just within our school district, but in many of the Northern school districts, have limited access to the internet. And if they have internet, the bandwidth isn't broad enough sometimes to some of the courses or some of the options that we like to be able to do through the internet. So yes, it is a disadvantage for our students if they are not able to access the internet. But in the last, well, since the pandemic, our district has made concessions for that. Basically, what we've done is we've done paper packages, and we've also even gone as far as teachers have recorded themselves or recorded lessons and put them on memory sticks. And we send the memory sticks home with the Chromebooks that the students have in their home, and then they can watch the teacher without the actual use of the internet. So we've accommodated as best as we can so that our students will have equal opportunity as best as possible as other students who live in the more urban areas. But yes, we would love to have much better internet across Northern Alberta.
I'm just looking at something from this board right now, and I'm going to guess this has to make you and the team very proud of this, and that is because you talk very specifically about technology, and I'm looking at this, and I'm seeing that 94% of your teachers say that they're using technology, their comfort of using technology has grown immensely. 94% indicate a very high comfort. Would you say that this is like, was it always this high, or was there a lot of training involved, or how did that go?
Because of the pandemic, as I said, we had to find some way of being able to connect with everyone and also for them to connect with their students. And previously, their comfort, even with online learning, we only had a 47%, and we weren't doing any online learning as a district. And now we have teachers saying, 92% of our teachers saying they're very comfortable with the online learning. They're very comfortable, as you said, with 94% of them, high comfort of using technology. And I give that credit to the fact that from March till June, we spent time teaching teachers, secretaries, EAs, everyone within a district, even our board now, every second board meeting, and now every board meeting, they're using Zoom as well. So we've changed the culture on how we do business. And so with the teachers, when the children weren't in the school and they weren't programming for the children to work at home, they were involved in over 600 professional learning opportunities to develop their skills. And now I'm very proud to say the level of expertise, not just at the teaching level, but across the entire district, has risen immensely. And the things that our students are having the opportunity to work with because their teachers know so much about technology now is incredible. This week, I don't know if you're aware, it's actually the International Computer Science Education Week.
I did not know that.
Yes. And this week is known as the Hour of Code. And so in many of our schools, they're working with students, with experts from outside, you know, various places in the country, but they're learning how to do some computer programming and coding so that they're, you know, they're aware of some of the opportunities when they finish school that they could be involved in with computer technology. That is not something we would have even been able to address last year. And now our students are actually being able to do coding and programming. So it's quite exciting.
Oh, my word. That is fantastic. I now think when I was in high school in the 1990s that when I thought of, like, codes, I thought of the cheat codes to a Nintendo game. Yeah, it's definitely changed quite a bit. And in saying that, though, at least in terms of technology, and this is something that I now, based on that answer, is a question I didn't expect to ask, but usually I do communicate quite a bit with some of the cabinet ministers. And I know that some of the Alberta government's placed a focus on things like artificial intelligence, machine-based learning at the post-secondary level. Do you think that maybe at one point there's an opportunity to at least touch these subjects at the high school level, like when it comes to artificial intelligence and machine-based learning?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when I look at the things that we're doing in less than a year in the classroom, we have what they call OWLs and Swivels and Sephiros. The Sephiros are little robots that look almost like a little ball. And the students can actually program them to do anything, to go through mazes. One of them had even programmed them to do a particular dance so this thing would bounce on the floor. But, there's so many things that this has opened up for our students. The OWLs and the Swivels, the teachers can teach a classroom, and they can have a mentor observing their teachers while it's happening. So, yeah, it's an amazing amount of growth, and it's amazing what teachers can do and students can do with the use of technology. So, yeah, I can see artificial intelligence possibly coming to the high school programming for sure.
All right, and I know we've talked about this before, and land-based learning, and that is obviously a huge, huge and very important aspect, I understand, of Northland's mandate and the type of education the school division provides. So in talking about that, I mean, obviously, due to COVID, I guess you can't do overnight cultural camps and things like that, but what are some of the at least workarounds for that? Because I know that with land-based learning, obviously a connection to the outdoors, gatherings and things like that. How has the division been able to adjust to that?
Well, it's interesting because one of the things we know about COVID is it's best to be outdoors, and so that has worked very, very well with our land-based learning. And you know, when, especially in the fall when the weather has been good, classrooms have been going outside and they have been doing many of the activities that we could normally do with land-based learning, so it hasn't interfered in that way. Of course, making sure you have the 6-foot distancing and when necessary, you know, they're wearing their masks, et cetera. So COVID hasn't really affected it in the fall simply because we're outside. You're right, we can't do the overnight camps now, but last year what we did was, because there were still opportunities for the staff to continue with the programming, what we did is we made sure we ordered the equipment that when the students are back, and as we know, they have all been back until just a little over a week ago, they have had the opportunity of using some of these things to do, for example, archery or some of the other land-based activities.
That's, I guess, going to be a question. In terms of the audited financial statements, any surprises, any or anything, or are you pleased, or is there overall everybody pleased with the direction it's heading in, and even given the challenges that divisions are facing?
Well, one of the things with the COVID, because it has basically enabled us or encouraged us to use technology, with our district being 288 square miles, people don't realize the cost of traveling across the district for personnel, et cetera. So by the use now of technology and having those foundational areas put in, that has saved us money this past year, as well as the CMR money that the province came out for putting Albertans back to work. That really helped with our maintenance. We were able to re-roof a couple of schools, replace some building management controls, which again, the building management controls will allow us to be able to alter school environments from a distance as opposed to having to drive to them. So that particular money really helped us save in the area of maintenance. So yes, we came up with a very small surplus, but I think a lot of it is the induction of technology and the extra money from the government to help with the maintenance.